you mentioned how these three and the ones that are coming later constitute a series in a certain sense. Going back to the beginning, when you were writing your first book, because your debut book is included in these three, did you have that series in mind?
No, there was no sort of idea of any kind of building on something, of creating more of the same. It was more like finding out what the books became as you wrote them and after you finished writing them and revising them. And then you finding out what the milieu for books had become in the early 90s as one published these books. Because the first book came out in 1991. It would have come out maybe in 1989, a year after I finished writing it, had it been published by the publisher who had been most interested in it. But then, you know, they ran into trouble. Somebody over there in the paperback wing of that publication house maybe didn't feel the book was commercial enough, which it wasn't actually. So then they put a stop to any sort of chances of it being published. And then they came back to my agent a year and a half later and made an offer. So that's a story in itself. I can sort of share that with you in a little more detail later. But what I'm saying is that the moment I was published, I was plunged into the post-Berlin Wall, post-Cold War, deregulated world of the free market, which had received carte blanche by that time with the fall of the Berlin Wall as the default mode of looking at not only economic and financial reality, but looking at reality itself. Mm-hmm. So that it would become the way we thought about reality, which included books, value, and various other things. Mm-hmm. So that's where I found myself. So I would produce yet another novel. And many of these were short to begin with and are short even now, you know, with a few departures, maybe one departure in The Shape of the Immortals, my fifth novel, which is longer than most of my novels. So there was a continuity in terms of the drift that these books kind of capture, their apparent plotlessness, their lack of investment in story, their seeming lack of interest in story. Somebody just wrote about the first three books for a website called Rumpus or something. And said, praise me for being a fabulous storyteller. So, you know, maybe there are different ways of approaching this idea of storytelling and story. But usually the kind of account of my books is that they are not interested in story. I myself have said more or less the same thing. I have argued against story, both through the kind of fiction I write and through the kind of criticism I write, saying that everything that's interesting exists on the fringes of story. Mm-hmm. Story is what keeps out what's interesting. If story keeps out life, life is what exists on the fringes of plot and story. And that's, you know, so, you know, there was no attempt to create a voice or a series. It was finding my way in this particular world, writing short novels in a language in which, say, compared to Bengali or Urdu or German or French, short novels were unusual. This is the English language I'm talking about. It was just kind of making sense of what I was doing, why I was doing it. I would much rather be writing big novels with plot and character. I mean, on one level. I mean, if I had thought at some point when I was a child that I would write a novel, I would have thought of it as one conventionally thinks of novels. So why was I doing what I was doing was a mystery to me. So it was just working that out. Yeah. Each novel was different from the preceding or the previous novel or novels in various ways, actually.
Mm-hmm. We also found a quote where you said that you write novels out of your perplexity with the form. Can you share a little bit about how you've wrestled with that quandary throughout your life when you talk about kind of trying to write in the fringes of plot?
Right. Yes, I've written about this and I've been talking about this of late. But so I suppose what I mean is that for some reason I'm drawn to various forms. I am drawn to poetry. I started out by writing poetry. I always thought I'd be a poet. I never thought I would, you know, be a novelist. And I love the essay as a form as well. I also like criticism. But I find myself drawn again and again to writing certain things in what seems to be the form of the realist novel. And then, you know, I do something with it which I could do with a poem maybe or with an essay, except that if I did that thing with a poem or a memoir or an essay, it would not be the kind of thing that I'm doing as a fiction writer. A Strange and Sublime Address would not be what it is. Afternoon Rug would not be what it is. Sojourn would not be what it is. Friend of My Youth would not be what it is. If I wrote those as essays or memoirs, they would not be what they are. I'm drawn to the kind of the syntax and the structure of realism and the realist novel, the language of realism, the language of the realist novel, only to be able to belie them and make them something completely different, leading people to ask, oh, is this a novel? Isn't this your life? Or should it be an essay? Or why don't you write poetry? Why didn't you write about this, you know, in your poems? So when I say the syntax of realism, I mean, you know, the really boring stuff, like he got up and opened the door, or she looked out of the window, or he went to the balcony and looked down, and implying all those joins in the novel, which are so important to the novel and which you only will find a plethora of in this form, the novel, the realist novel. You will not find a huge number of sentences like this in an essay, certainly not in a poem. Yeah. The novel depends on these joins. And I find myself doing things within the structure and the syntax implied by those joins, which implies a particular kind of sequence, the sequence of realism, which Virginia Woolf described, I think, as the awful business of the realist novelist, or maybe just the novelist, having to get a progress from breakfast to dinner or something.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah. So this whole business that is contained within and implicit within a sentence like, he went up and opened the door, is this awful business of having to sort of make use of that time, spend it purposefully, this time between breakfast and dinner. And this is what I don't do. I'm not interested in doing that particular kind of work. It is anathema to me. It is probably anathema to many novelists, but they are much more hardworking than I am. And they are more citizenly, they are more responsible in their having sort of taken on this form, which entails a kind of responsibility, which is the novel, almost a citizenly bourgeois responsibility of having to see through something from beginning to end. Even as readers, we partake of that bourgeois responsibility, or citizenly responsibility. That's another word for one can substitute bourgeois with. So this is what Auden talks about in his poem, The Novelist. With a degree of awe and bafflement, he becomes the whole of boredom itself, by which he means that, you know, again, it's the same thing as Woolf. The syntax of realism, once you take it on in terms of the realist novel, you must perform your duties and obligations, you know. And to take on this frame is necessary to me, to then renege and do something else with it. Don't ask me why. I've been explaining this through occult, with explanations from the uncanny and the occult by saying that maybe in a past life, somebody sort of, some god cursed me and said that you can do what you want to do, but you'll only be through the realist novel that you'll be able to do.
I sympathize with that very much.